Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the NBA for ESPN, Bobby Marks. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bobby, listen, the way the Pelicans have been playing, I'll take a win any way I can get it. Last night, okay, I'm watching, and I see Trey go up, and I'm like, oh, man, that looks like goaltending to me. And then all of a sudden, you know, no whistle, and so you ended up with a W. Both teams were really depleted last night, both the Mavericks and also the Pelicans. But, you know, this team has won three out of the last four games. They've dug themselves a massive, massive hole to get out of. But they got a little fight in them, and I like to see that. And boy, I wanted to ask you not only about that, but also if we see the growth in Trey Murphy as a basketball player. Just, I think he is a tremendous, tremendous asset to the Pelicans out on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, the hard, and I've been there when I was in New Jersey. The hardest thing to do is kind of look up at the standings and whether you're 9-30 or you're not going to make the playoffs, which even the play-in, which is not going to happen for New Orleans. But I do think there's a similar kind of what we saw with Memphis go through last year. They were able to kind of use, most of the season kind of as like kind of an audition, right? A development your own players, audition for who kind of works. And that foundation without Moran and some of the other guys, now you see Scottie Pippen Jr. and now you see, some of their younger players really take a step. And I think that's the goal if you're in New Orleans. Certainly, kind of don't look at the standings. Zero zero going into every game here and trying to whether it be Jordan Hawkins or Trey or Eves, some of your younger players that are going to be here next year as far as when this roster is healthy and with whatever the parts look like next year, they can kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah, your thoughts on Trey Murphy? Because, man, that guy, we've seen the growth in him. His first year here, it looked like somebody had put plywood right over the top of the goal. He couldn't hit anything. He got sent down, came back up. But now he has really grown into a big-time player in the NBA.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think, and certainly the extension that he signed before the start of the season kind of a little bit reflects as far as what he accomplished in the prior years as far as his ability to score the basketball, certainly his second, third year. And then I think what you've seen this year certainly has been, in a season marred with injuries, has been their, probably their most consistent player here. So I think you have to be happy with what Trey's been able to do for you.
How surprised are you to watch Eve Mise and his growth? I mean, 1 year at Baylor, he's a really smart guy. We heard some reports early on in the training camp. Hey, he's a lot better than a lot of people think he'll be in year one, and we've got to see it. He's not only a really good defensive player, and that part was always obvious, but now he's developed a pretty good offensive side.
No, I mean, I saw him, I saw him in college, and then I remember sitting in Las Vegas at Summer League and sitting next to somebody, and he had not had a good Summer League, and the person was concerned, like, man, like, I don't know if this is a good pick or not. And I said, listen, Summer League kind of does a little bit of a disservice for bigs. You basically have to have the right point guard on your roster. And, you know, what he looks like in July could be a lot different than what you see in October and November and during the regular season. And I think you've seen that. I mean, certainly, you know, that was kind of the, you know, after Jonas goes to the Wizards in free agency, and then you kind of try to patch the center position. Who's going to be your center? Do we have to go trade for one and stuff? And then when you get a guy that's, man, a first-round pick on an inexpensive contract, and that can be your guy moving forward here, that solves a lot of different things, because now you can kind of use some of those resources to address other things.
And Bobby, going back to Trey Murphy, I just want to get your thoughts, because, you know, he's really taken that year four leap. I mean, stats up across the board, making a jump from basically 15 to 22 points per game, and his scoring numbers even up in 2025, the month of January. Yeah. But just your thoughts on, you know, for one, I think he's being way under the radar for most improved player. I know that's kind of Kate Cunningham's award to lose, but I'm looking at some books, and I'm not even seeing him listed. I know the Pelicans have had a miserable year, but I feel like he should be getting more respect for that type of an award just based off the jump that he's made in year four.
No, yeah, you hit it right on the head. I think, unfortunately, for those type of roles, you know, sometimes people look at kind of where that team is in the standings, you know, like you know, Malik Monk, I think you could have made a really good argument a year ago, whether it be, I think, for sixth man. And he didn't win, right? Because New Orleans, I mean, Sacramento was a playing team and stuff. So I do think guys who are on teams that are struggling do get overshadowed. But I agree with you. I think, you know, certainly where he is, you know, from, you know, last year he was pretty good. And then, you know, he goes this year as far as where, you know, as far as the ability to kind of, you know, average close to 22 points. I do find it funny, and I heard, you know, Brian Windhorst talking about that. I felt like this all along. I'm like, man, if you're the number one pick, how do you get most improved, right? Like, shouldn't kind of,
that's a great point.
Yeah. A little bit. I think Maxey might have been in that equation. Oh, Maxey was in the 20s, but there was, you know, guys in, like, you know, the lottery. Like, I mean, I'm surprised Victor's not mentioned, right? And man, he's most improved. I'm like, well, he did go number one. So, like, what's, you know, there is already a pretty good strong base there.
Yeah, and it's not like he wasn't very good in his rookie campaign either. Victor was fantastic. And so, yeah. I see his name mentioned more than Trey, and it kind of blows my mind a little bit, Bobby. Yeah. But moving on, I think that, you know, what Trey's done this year is exactly what the Pels were hoping when they gave him that extension in the offseason, and how he's made that jump. And now the question kind of becomes, we're 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline, and I think Trey Murphy's ascension obviously has made Brandon Ingram expendable on this team. And so if you're talking about the players that the Pels are going to move on from, you know, ahead of February 6th, 3 weeks from today, you know, I just think it feels like Brandon Ingram's not going to be a Pelican in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I would say that would probably be the guy to circle. I think you have to, but you got to get the right deal. I think that's the hardest part about all this, is that when you have a guy that's making $36-37 million and is a good player, but it's been out for most of the year with you know, certainly with the injury here, kind of what's the return value? And I think for Griff, it's like, okay, can we get a first round pick? Can we get, you know, maybe one really good, nice young player? Can we get some flexibility financially going forward? So I would say out of the group there that you would probably circle, you know, Brandon's name. I think, you know, listen, they're going to make a trade because they're not, you know, I'm sure Mrs. Benson doesn't want to pay the luxury tax for their $1.4 million over. And when you're a team that's, you know, in the lottery, you're not going to pay the luxury tax, which you can get probably $18, $19 million back here. So there's going to be a trade out there somewhere, whether it be Brandon or whether it be maybe one of their minimum guys they're moving off to kind of to dip under there.
One of the things, Bobby, must watch tonight. Okay, the Cleveland Cavaliers got only five losses all season long, and they go up against the Thunder, who have six.
They played like a couple weeks ago.
And man, a couple weeks ago, that was a great game. Your thoughts on, man, just the Cavaliers. I think we all thought they would be good, but I don't know if we thought they would be this good. Now, the Thunder's a different story. You can see all the pieces in place, and they got a chance. They got a chance now to get into the championship game, so to speak. But your thoughts about tonight, the Cavaliers and the Thunder?
I'm intrigued, and I said this a little while ago when I was doing TV. I'm intrigued about the different styles, because you've got Hartenstein, who had been really good for Oklahoma City, is out. and you've got, you know, the equivalent of, I guess, the Twin Towers, right, with Mobley and Jared Allen. You got just two bigs there. And, you know, and it, so that's intriguing because Oklahoma City's best lineup is when they go that all that 6'6 and below lineup, right, with Shea and Jalen Williams and Casey Wallace and Lu Dort and, you know, guys like that and everything. So I'm intrigued as far as the style that, you know, both those guys, both those teams, different styles there as far as what they're able to do that. I think it's going to be a heck of a matchup. Certainly Oklahoma, playing Oklahoma City is a different animal as far as what goes on there and everything like that. And I think it's interesting, you know, they make a change. They bring back basically the same roster in Cleveland. They make a change with Kenny Atkinson. Kenny's probably favorite for coach of the year, but the guy who replaced J.B. Bickerstaff is doing a heck of a job in Detroit, which is one of the, you know, which was one of the great stories there.
And before we let you run, Bobby, it's kind of a two-part question for you. As I mentioned earlier, 3 weeks away from the NBA's trade deadline, we talked a little bit about Brandon Ingram. You know, I guess my first question for you would be, you know, what is the potential return for someone like that on an expiring contract and, you know, him having to sign an extension wherever he goes? We know what happened this past offseason where he wanted a max from New Orleans. New Orleans wasn't willing to give him that. So, you know, whatever potential team makes a move for him is going to want to be able to lock him down long term, obviously. So, you know, what's the early kind of thoughts on that? And then also, you know, the Pelicans roster, is there anyone else that you could see potentially getting moved on? I know the stove will start to heat up in a little bit here, so this is kind of early, but just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Brandon, I think it's a matter of who has interest in him and what's the price of whether it be in an extension or what's going to be the price to retain him in free agency in a market where there's not a lot of whole lot of money out there to go out and sign and sign free agents here. I think that plays a big role in it. Where if he's going to extend as soon as he's traded, then maybe it's a little bit more. I do think, you know, certainly I think, you know, the value is at least a first round pick, I would think. You know, as far as players, I think you have to be careful because if you're kind of looking to kind of reboot this roster a little bit in the off season, and if it's whether it be Trey or DeJounte and Herb when he gets healthy, and you know we'll see what happens. You know, certainly with Zion, I think you do want that flexibility there. So I do think it's a matter of kind of what you know. I think it's a matter of kind of if where he's being traded to is going to be his home for the foreseeable future.
Bobby, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights from you, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Bobby.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All righty. Bobby Marks does a great job covering the NBA for ESPN.